Ready?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Township of Lebanon Committee for February 7th, 2018, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. You all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our servicemen and women.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First order of business is the presentation of minutes. We'll start with the minutes from the reorganization meeting of January 3rd, 2018.
Mayor, since we had plenty of chance to review these, because Karen was so kind to send them to us 24 hours in advance, and I know that won't always happen, I was able to thoroughly review them, so I would make a motion to approve the reorg minutes, is what we're referring to?
Yes.
I would make a motion to approve the reorganization minutes from January 3rd, 2018.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And next would be the minutes of the regular meeting of January 17th, 2018. Any discussion or motion?
I will also make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of January 17th, 2018.
And I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And finally, the minutes of the executive session, January 17th, 2018.
I don't have any discussion. Anybody have any discussion? I'll make a motion to approve. If not...
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. With that, is there a motion to open to public comment, this time limited to agenda items only?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Seeing none, is there a motion to close public
so
comment?
So moved.
I'll make it. Yeah, I'll second it.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next on the agenda is the fire department oath of office. Unfortunately, that needs to be postponed again. They weren't available to be here at a short notice. So the next item is the public hearing for Ordinance 2018-01, which is the ordinance to establish a cap bank. This is a procedural ordinance which allows the township flexibility in either of the next 2 years to use instead of being limited to a 2% cap, to have a 3% potential increase on the last year's budget. Therefore, it authorizes the township to appropriate as part of the final budget, retained as an exception to final appropriation in either of the next 2 years, increasing by 3.5%, an amount of $147,470.19. Is there a motion to open to public hearing?
I'll make a motion to open a public hearing.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Seeing no public comment, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Is there any discussion among the committee, or would there be a motion to adopt the ordinance 2018-01?
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2018-01, ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriations limits to establish a cap bank.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. On the agenda, this next item was an introduction of Resolution 2018-02 for fair share housing. That needs to be tabled for additional input from our planner, so no action on that will be taken tonight. I think in the next 2 weeks, if members of the committee have comments on that, I think we should deliver them to Karen to coordinate getting those comments over.
Okay.
Yeah, so we need a motion on that, or
no? Not. I mean, okay. We can just pass on it. But we're gonna, yeah. That would be helpful to have them prior to the next meeting, so they can be incorporated. for publication and whatnot.
So I assume we'll be getting a new draft somewhere in the middle of that with Planner Boland's comments.
Yes.
We'll deliver comments through Karen.
We're not under the gun as much as we had been, so but we still want to get it done before April.
Okay. With that, then, we're moving to the resolutions on the agenda. Resolution 23-2018, redemption of tax sale certificate, whereas the amount of $14,704.66 was collected from Majestic Title Agency, along with a premium amount paid of $6,100. This resolution would be to return those amounts to U.S. Bank Custodian BV002 Trust and Creditors.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 23-2018, redemption of tax sale certificate.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is resolution 24-2018, titled Approving Settlement Mid-American Salt LLC Litigation. I'd like to ask Matt if he wanted to give us a little bit of background on this.
As everyone's aware, this has been ongoing for some time now. It's been a subject of several closed sessions we've discussed. There's been many of the municipalities have resolved. The majority, almost all of them, did so by purchasing the salt. And being constrained by the options set forth by the salt company. We did not do that. We held our ground with regard to the law. The mayor had put me in touch with Joe Valenti, who was involved in the creation of these entities, who I spoke to at length. But long story short, we were the immovable object and they were the unstoppable force. The judge found our position to be reasonable. Our adversary didn't. They wanted the full $15,000 based on their quantity. We didn't want to go above what we said was the actual amount of salt we used. So the matter settled for the full authorized amount, which was the $11,400, to conclude all claims. And that's what's submitted tonight for approval. We need to formally approve that. So it's tentatively settled, awaiting approval by the committee.
So I'll just read out the resolution in front of us would be that the township hereby authorizes entry into a settlement in which the litigation in the matter of Mid-American Salt versus Township of Lebanon will be settled with Lebanon Township making payment in the amount of $11,400 in exchange for a dismissal by plaintiff. Mid-American Salt of any and all claims which were filed in the underlying litigation and any and all claims that could have been filed, and that litigation is among the parties, and that the township attorney is authorized by this resolution to execute any and all documents necessary to effectuate the settlement of this litigation. Any discussion from the committee? Or is there a motion to accept the resolution?
I think the only discussion, I think, going forward is how we protect ourselves from a co-op that doesn't stand behind
right,
us.
That's how I feel.
That's a valid point. And again, when I spoke to Mr. Valenti, we discussed that. And the language from both sides will differ in the future. And we will have to confront that when we do it. Meaning, we anticipate that the co-op is going to insert language mandating that our estimates are not estimates, which really it really undermines the entire process. And
yeah.
Again, had a lengthy discussion about that. It was never designed to be that. But also, Mr. Valenti indicated there was also some. The design of the co-ops was to have some reliance, that the vendor could place some reliance on those amounts. I think our position at the end of the day was the most reasonable. We never got to a court opinion, but you may be able to hold us as your salt supplier, but you can't force us to buy salt we don't need. That's the most reasonable outcome, and that the language will have to be crafted to that regard. That if you're going to tell us you need 1,000, estimate it, and you only end up with 750, as long as you don't go out and buy the other 250 somewhere else, you're compliant. So that would be how I would seek to structure the wording. you know.
And that's my feeling. As long as we're aware, there is a shot across their bow with this. We know going forward we have to pay attention to it and do some other things to structure it differently.
All three legs of the contract is going to be different at this point. There's just this has made that so necessary.
Thank you.
Any other discussion or motion to approve resolution 2018. Resolution, mine says 2017.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 24-2018.
I'll second it with regrets.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. The next resolution, resolution 25-2018. This is a bond anticipation note resolution affirming that the bond anticipation note, it's a note, not a bond, to be clear, in the amount of $3.822,576 million, payable July 26, 2018, is qualified as a tax-exempt obligation. The information isn't in this resolution, but the face interest rate of that note is 2.5%, but you have to dig in to see that it was purchased at a premium, so it's actually slightly under a 2% interest rate that we're paying for the next 6 months. Any discussion on resolution 25-2018?
And this is just a rollover and doesn't cure any new debt.
Correct. No new debt. In fact, it had some pay down. The statutory pay down for this rollover was paid. When we have our March budget discussions, we can decide if we have any additional pay down in the July rollover.
Very good.
If there's no other discussion, is there a motion to approve resolution 25-2018?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 25-2018 for the note.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Old business. The topic is the volunteer event, which I will turn over to Bev and Tom.
Okay.
I'll turn it to Tom, and I'll chime in as needed.
Well, as you know, we've put this out to, other than the historians who have yet to have a meeting, a discussion about what type of event they would like to see. There's been a lot of input on this. Originally, for years and years, the township used to hold an appreciation or social dinner, however you want to look at it, and it was held actually in our rescue squad building for many, many years. At that time, we had a dividing wall that allowed the front part of the rescue squad building to be a dance floor with the located on a bar. And the eating section was where we have our pancake breakfast today. We did have round tables at one time. We no longer have those. So what had transpired after the dilemma with the rescue squad building is we found another venue. That venue was out in Bloomsbury, and for quite a few years, that's where the social event was held for the township. It's a nice building. It's long. It's big. Has a dance floor. Its seating arrangements is around the dance floor with the catering operations behind closed walls behind you. So we did that. My first year on the committee, I didn't have a choice. That's what we did. Pat assured me that this is where you're going to go, and this is what we're going to do, and so we did it. And Kim and Pat and I put together, and my only job back then as a new committee was what the menu was. You know, we didn't have any choice of where we were going to be or anything like that. So come around 2013, we had a budget issue, and we decided we're going to do a potluck picnic for $2,000. We're going to cook our own hamburgers and hot dogs. The park committee said, whoa, wait a minute. We'd rather do something a little bit nicer. We'll meet you halfway. So that's how the picnic at the park started, and it was a combination between the township committee and the park committee. We had music at the first event, like we did at the Bloomsbury event. So what I've heard from a lot of folks is either way. They could take it either way, a dinner, some like a chain. Some would like to keep it as a barbecue and picnic. Some feel that it's a great way to meet and expand their relationships with other individuals in the township from different committees. I think all the ideas are great, and I think basically what we need to do is make sure that we continue that, whether it's a dinner dance or social. And when I think about a social, I think about history. And, you know, maybe someone had a banjo or they had a harp and they had a little music going and they had a little social event. So in the theme of that, that's kind of what the dinner event would be. We took the music away at the park, and, you know, lately the attendance has been going down, and I think that's why this came about. To let's look at it different. Maybe we should go back to the dinner venue. So I'm going to look at a budgetary item now, because some folks have said to me, well, where's the budget at? What's more? To be honest with you, the hall rental at Bloomsbury is more than the park, but not by a lot. I think the last event that I can compare apples to apples was the 2013 dinner venue and the 2014 picnic venue. And the numbers that we have from that day, for everyone's information, would be that the 2013 dinner dance was a value of $4,257, and that was at a hall with a dance floor and a DJ. It had an open bar for 1 hour, and then a cash bar to follow, and then beer and wine was on the house. That was all included with servers and start, you know, set up, take down, and served at your tables. There were round tables around the dance floor. And I have to say, some people danced. I mean, not everyone was out there dancing, but it was a nice atmosphere. At the park in 2014, the reason I used that one is because we had music also. So I'm comparing apples to apples. The Spinners, who were the DJ at the other event, were also at this event. So that event in 2014 came to a total of $3,745. It's important to note that the amount of people who came to the event on those two. 2013, we had a total of 70 folks that showed up. And in 2014, at the picnic, we had 82 individuals show up. So I think that's a barometer where we're going to be with numbers. Bev has gone out and done a lot of work, and we looked at a whole bunch of different venues that Bev looked at, and they're cost prohibitive, I think most of them are, or they're not ready for the type of event we're looking for. So it narrows down to the Bloomsbury facility, the Township Memorial Park, and a lot of folks have talked about trying to go back to Squad Building 3. Remember, we have square tables. We'd be nicer to have round tables, because otherwise you're talking to the people right around you when you have square tables. If you have round tables, at least you're getting everyone included. We could rent a dance floor. We could rent round tables. We can put a makeshift bar there. We could try to get a dance floor. So I don't know if that facility is quite ready at this time. It could be, depending on the amount of people we have. So given the information that I've just presented to everyone, Bev, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, as far as budget goes, well, the only thing I was thinking about is, because we don't know how many people are coming, we have to decide, first of all, is it going to be employees and volunteers?
I'm going to back up and say the event we held in the facility in Bloomsbury was an event that employees were there, as well as your volunteers. And the volunteers were well represented by the fire department, as I recall. There was... I don't know how many employees were actually there that I can remember, but there was a fair amount, and it was past committee people that were also there, if I'm right when I say that. So, you know, the Jay Weeks and the other...
George was there.
George. And so you had a greater individual selection. So I would think that, yes, we should think about the employees, and I think then... Somewhere as we lost the appreciation part and called it a volunteer dinner. And I think that maybe the appreciation dinner would be more rewarding to not only our volunteers but to our employees also. So I'm kind of liking that theme. But as I said, I'm not sure about Station 3. You have the venue at the park, or I'm going to defer it to the venue in Bloomsbury. I need input from the rest of the committee.
Well, if you do Station 3, just the thing we have to think about is if you have to go to 108 with the service, any if you have a bartender and you have servers there, I don't, if that's what you want to have, serve the meal versus a buffet.
Well,
even with the buffet, you might have to have some couple of servers, but...
I would like to see individuals be served. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's a picnic, that's something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sit-down dinner, you know, and that's where we... I think we got to... You know, I haven't gone through all the people who responded, but when I look at it quickly, it's almost split down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, which direction to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Monday, the EOSC met, and they were all picnic.
Picnic.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were thinking that, I think their input was also to look at the different food style, to go away from a barbecue, maybe a different food style, but still with a picnic, was what I believe was the direction that I got from that.
A picnic, time-wise, would be easier, you know. The original thought with the late winter, early spring appreciation dinner was it's a time of year when... That's kind of blah. Let's do something. So they kind of did it that time to have something that was for the community, the township, you know, the members of our town staff and so on, and they did it that time. So the picnics affords us more time. The dinner dance is something that we'd like to schedule if we're going to do it. I think we have to think about that by the next meeting at the latest, if that's what it's going to be, at the latest. Otherwise, we'll just roll right into a picnic and look towards next year to think about things. So, you know, I need some input from the rest of this committee right now on your feelings also.
Well, the picnic is pretty labor intensive, so you have to have the time available to put into...
I get that.
And, you know, then you have some of the volunteers that are going to be at the picnic that are helping you. So it's just keep that in mind. And.
Oh, I do. Mm. I do. So.
I like the idea of staying in the township, which... Mm-hmm. Means either squad dinner or picnic, but I do understand it might not be ready. I mean, I'm torn in hearing it and saying there's not a clear choice here. It's
How many people do you know? How many people can fit in the Califon's hall?
I don't know offhand.
Quite a bit.
We've gotten some feedback on the Califon. It's a takedown. You put up, take down, hire your own bartender, hire your own servers if you're going to do that. Get your own caterers. And I'm hearing that the facility is, I can't really say this for sure, but odd-shaped in how they present the, you know, where the platform and the podium is going to be for the award event, like at the Bloomsbury one, the award event. You know, it was the podium and the DJ were at one end, dance floor in front of the tables all around. It was really easy to get people up from their table, present the awards to them, and we did it between dessert being served and everything like that. So,
In terms of number, I mean, my understanding is the year I did it was 75. 75 to 80 sounds like
right.
a realistic number.
It depends if the fire department comes with their dates and spouses and
last year they didn't
know about it was in their box and it never got to them in time that they didn't realize that mm-hmm. there wasn't any firemen mm-hmm. at it last right. year, so there potentially could mm-hmm. be a quick and easy 20 people there
with guests, you mean?
Yeah, I mean
mm-hmm. I honestly look at these numbers, and other than 2009 when the Bloomsbury event had 127 people, it's really in that 80 number mark, 83, 85, 80, 82. I think that's the number right there. So if you use that number of 80, let's say, and think about the squad building number 3 and some of the logistics we have to overcome as far as what do we do with the square tables, unless you want to have square tables. You know, I don't know if that's that big of an issue.
Yeah, they're not expensive to rent from Star, right?
Right.
And it's a matter of what we do with the square tables. We get them into, I guess, the area where once is the garage bays.
Yeah.
And then the question is, do you want to rent a dance floor? We just put a new floor down there.
Do you need to there? What is it? Wood there? I forget.
I'm going to say it's an impressionist-type wood. Mm. And I don't know how much it's going to handle a whole lot of abuse, but I don't know if dancing is going to be that much. And again, how many dancing are we going to have? Everyone raise their hands.
So if you do get 100 people in there, I don't think you'll have much space.
You're on.
Well, I rented that dance floor when I had my birthday party down at Onerosa. It's not that expensive. You don't need a big dance floor. You just get a little
dance floor. So am I hearing the direction of the committee right now is to look a little harder into Station 3?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing here? I mean, I'm...
My only concern is that we get too many people respond. That, you know, it's a we're changing it up. After a number of years, you may get more interest than the standard influx. Yes, I would like to see something different. That's my personal opinion, just to change it up, and because it has dwindled
you
down.
You have been to the Bloomsbury one.
Yes.
Through the planning,
as a planning
board.
Board.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there in 13.
Okay.
So I was there the last year that was done there.
Okay.
I mean, I fully appreciate the time and the more effort, because I think the additional thing if we go squad 3 would be we'd have to be clear you have to reserve a spot, because we wouldn't want to turn away people that night. So it would have to be first come, first serve on a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we max out at whatever 90 people plus staff, and we end up telling 10 people, sorry.
Yeah, which isn't great either.
Which isn't great, but does that, is it worth the drive out to Bloomsbury to potentially turn? We don't know if we're going to turn people away. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So can we then start looking in that direction, as well as the other directions we approach, and by next meeting we can make a decision? I'm going to talk to the historians. They're the last group to say yay or nay or what they want to do.
I mean, the one good thing, before we make that decision, the one good thing about over there is it's an all-weather situation. You're not going to deal with people not showing up because it's a pouring rainstorm for some reason.
Have we, in the event that it returns to a picnic, doesn't go, do we have dates secured?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they fill up really
fast. 6-2 and 6-16, and that's the time frame that everybody doesn't have things going on with their kids and this and that.
Because the Memorial Park fills up, and it's either, if that's the spring event, pre-summer event, you got to pick the dates now. If it's a fall event, I don't know if the park committee is choosing to do their fall festival again and interfere with that. So there's some things to think about along those ways.
Right.
So,
and then I was thinking,
I am trying to keep a level hand on this. I know it's been pretty much, people really are on this one. It's a hot topic in town.
And I was thinking with respect to the budget, because you can have a swing from 60 to possibly, let's say, 100. Is it better to set a per person limit or to set, and maybe with a cap too, but you don't want to set it at $3,000 and then everybody's coming and you can't deliver on what you said you were going to deliver. So, and that would have to include the music. I mean, it'd be a bottom line per person.
If you take the numbers from the last Bloomsbury one,
mm-hmm.
where there was 70 people, that's at $60 a head.
Right.
And that's, if you look at the park, it's at $45 a head, roughly, the amount of people. So, mm-hmm. When you get up to the 60 number, that's some of the local country club numbers.
But see, that didn't include, the country club ones didn't have the music and all that.
Exactly.
That was basically,
but, you're getting up to a number that,
But keep in mind, if you do it over there, servers, catering.
Oh, I do.
Music, bartender, rolling bar.
So
alcohol, you're up there again.
I think what I'm hearing, Bev, is that you and I should find out exactly and put together a cost that's effective for that. And
what kind of food should we look for?
Well, usually they allow the newcomer to pick that.
Yeah.
So since
Mark, you're the most recently elected.
That's correct. So that would be my that was what I did the last time. I didn't do any of this. Back is the way it's going to be. All right, you just pick the menu. So I defer that to myself.
If that works for your timing, that you get more definitive for the next meeting on those three venues, and we agree we make a choice next meeting?
I think we have to.
If that works, I think that's the right course of action.
I think we have to. So
you'll lose. I'm more concerned. I'm not concerned so much with the pavilion, because Kim is holding those dates, but the Riverview, River Edge, whatever they call it, the Bloomsbury Firehouse, they've got some openings, and I just said, keep me posted if somebody's going to take one of these dates, because we were looking at maybe 5-5 Cinco de Mayo theme or something. You've got your theme built in, but I don't know. It depends on what we decide to do here.
Is that the earliest type date that you're thinking of?
No, they had it.
We go Bloomsbury?
We were thinking, because you said March,
mid-April to late April. And then May. We don't want to go much further into May, I don't think. You're ending up with graduations and so on and so forth.
Yep.
And then before you know it, summer's here.
Yep.
Right.
So we were trying to keep it, if it was going to be at that venue, Or, you know, I don't know about this venue here. It would almost be the same thing. We're trying to keep it as a, what I would say, it'd be early to mid-spring, if you want, or maybe late spring, mid to late spring. But before, you know?
The thing that bothers me about over there, too, and if you get enough people and tables are everywhere, that bathroom is, like, right there. You know what I mean? If you have a table there.
Well, could we always rent a little screen? You know, that, you know.
That might be an option.
Okay, if we make one.
Yeah, it's like you just keep hearing flushing because there's no door on it.
We don't know one right now.
Yeah.
All right.
What were the 2 dates that you said in June for the park?
6-2 and 6-16.
Okay, because graduation of Voorhees is the 12th. So yeah, I don't know if you, the 16 may be like parties and stuff for that.
Yeah, that's too big.
Had you, when you talked about country clubbing, had you looked at other places for numbers?
We went to, I didn't, but Bev looked at Beaverbrook, Hawks Point,
my grits.
And the Mountain View Chalet, and they're all around without music, $60 a head.
And that's basically buffet. I went like bare bones. What can you do? And then we also, I called
Ashton Farms, we discussed. We discussed a couple of other ideas. I don't think Ashton Farms is quite ready yet.
No. They don't have a barn either. Neither of them do.
That would be a tent on tennis courts is what they would have.
Over here.
There was another, I don't know if we can even get up that driveway, everyone, the other one in Lebanon Township, that is going to be a kind of a facility like that barn off of Hollow Road, I believe it is.
Oh, I didn't know.
There's another one. That, yeah, Mountaintop, is it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's Born to Run. Yeah, I talked to him.
Yeah. So you can see if, you know, you want us to print out this list that Beth has created.
Fine. Curious if you,
I mean,
you know.
We looked at the Hampton Firehouse. I talked to Warren to see what would be involved in that. And Karen, another thing, too, about
Clinton
the
Firehouse is looked at.
Yeah, they can't. It's like a Ford. You know, Clinton.
Dutch Valley Farms.
Thing.
I mean, a lot of places that we looked at and we're kind of, you know, they just don't seem to work for us.
What about Bill Asdale's place?
The little barn, I don't know if it could fit.
It's too little.
I didn't. Oh, it is.
I've been there for communion.
I
was there for graduation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's small.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to look at that because that building, that
and inside the house isn't big. I mean, it's really meant for family.
So,
does like,
you know, I got 80 folks in my head, plus if we had servers. So whatever that takes, you know, if it's 90, 95, that's the number, you know.
Yeah.
So we will do our due diligence to look into the old squad building or Station 3 and then come back and talk to the historians tomorrow night. So,
do you think we can get a freebie from the on the fire? Like, we get the pavilion for free, so we wouldn't have to pay a fee, right?
I think that's in the lease agreement.
It's in the lease agreement.
Okay, so it is. So then that's good. So that's $300.
We just have to work on who we want to do with the tables and, you know, that. So I'll get together with you on that.
That's the easy part. It's the catering that you have to really.
Another comment was made to me is that, like, we put a little bit less on the facility, but we kind of up it on the catering. You know, bring a stronger caterer in, and you know, and maybe that's what works at this.
Right.
I guess we got to get hopping on that.
All right. I did that with my birthday party at the Califon Firehouse.
So do you know some local caterers? I mean, I don't want to name names right now, but I know a few locally. Okay.
So yeah, let's.
I think that's a plan.
Let's decide who's going to do what here before the next meeting.
Yeah, well, I'll divert to you, Beth. Okay.
Let's go on with our agenda.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Are we?
We're
I thought you were wrapping that up.
We're wrapped up.
Okay.
I will get together with you on that, and we'll talk that over. Right.
Okay. So next
Sorry
on
about
the,
that.
Next on the agenda is the recreation and open space inventory. This is a requirement of our Green Acres grant. This is not meant to be a comprehensive list of all the properties in the township that are conserved for open space. That appears in our open space and recreation plan, which was recently updated and will be online shortly. This is a list of properties where the township owns a stake and the properties were purchased with Green Acres funds or funds that must follow Green Acres rules. And so there's the Green Acres open space encumbrance goes on to these properties. If people have had a chance to review this, and unless there's any discussion, what we're looking for tonight would be a motion to authorize the mayor to sign and to file this recreation and open space inventory with the county.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second or discussion?
This is just recording the properties, and it's not an all-inclusive one, the way I understand it. There's no funding attached to this one.
This is a requirement to get the funding of the grant that we've been awarded, okay. But there's no cost, if that's what you mean. This isn't committing any.
You have a quorum. I'm going to abstain from this.
Fair enough. So do we have a second?
I made the motion.
I'll second.
And roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Next on the list is bringing back, this is under, we put it under new business because we haven't discussed it in a while, but a year or so ago it was brought up that the sign in front of the municipal building is basically decaying. We did allocate money in a prior budget in a capital fund, a capital ordinance, to replace that sign, and there was a discussion of whether we should replace it with a sign very similar to the current sign. That would mean, by that I mean a non-messaging sign, carved wood type sign, and some very preliminary price information, which would include some landscaping around it and the like, we think would cost $8,000 to $12,000 to replace the sign and some landscaping. The question came up whether the township should have a messaging sign, electronic message sign, at this location to give updates to the community. The initial, very preliminary prices for a single color sign, which yellow text, two-sided, roughly a 3-foot by 7-foot sign, lettering on the top and the like, we're talking in the range of $23,000 to $28,000. To make it a multicolor sign, similar style, would be roughly $26,000 to $31,000. It raises a couple of questions if we go the messaging sign of where it would get the most the best visibility. We don't really have a main town square in our township, so the discussion that had come up, whether Hill Road gets the most traffic or whether 513 gets traffic, because we've got the library at the bottom of Bunvale where we could put a messaging sign. And I didn't mean to go into that much detail because Mark has done a lot of the background
on this. You're perfectly fine to go with. Keep going.
Anything you want to add before we broaden the discussion?
No, I mean, it came up. There was somebody at the conference that, you know, where some of this came from, and they had talked about it, and then we'd kind of gone into the discussion, was where is the best visibility, where does it get the most bang for the buck, so to speak. And I talked to actually Rob Walton, saying, so if we put the sign down by the library, they could pull a line right from that telephone pole. We wouldn't have to bring power down from the library. It could be a separate meter right there on the pole. So there wouldn't be that major expense, electrical expense, to power it. I believe we have power out there that we could pick up.
The one consideration is if 513 is the best location for messaging, we still need to replace the sign here because
correct.
It's decaying.
Correct.
So
correct.
Then the cost.
It's a one sign option or a two sign option is really what it comes down to, and how we, you know, which comes first and moving forward. We had budgeted $20,000 towards a sign last year, which we haven't spent any on. So moving into this year.
To throw into the mix of discussion, I think as time has moved forward, I think messaging to the community with a messaging sign, maybe that time has passed a little bit, and now getting a more effective Facebook strategy, which is also on our list of things to do, maybe that's the more effective way to message, and then we just go back to a classic sign. I think that's the type of discussion that I think we're looking for. We don't need a decision tonight. We just wanted to start the discussion.
Well, I guess the question that I actually have a question then for Jack is, how much do we utilize the police sign for those kind of applications where we need to put wording out?
The sign, right now, we haven't put it in play because of the weather and stuff like that. And the maintenance on it, the upkeep, and it's about 15 years old now. I think the diodes on it are going. We replaced the batteries last year. We will put that out pretty much from the spring until fall. I'd like to keep it out. We've received numerous requests from the rec committee on different events. I'll put it out for different areas for speed and stuff like that. Try to get out as much as possible.
Am I hearing between the lines that that might be coming to the end of its life?
It's getting tired. It's getting tired. Yeah.
And I think those are 10,000 plus signs.
Yes,
and they aren't.
So what type of messaging are we talking about?
Well, similar to like Voorhees's. You know, if you Voorhees's sign, which that's a one-sided sign, but not multicolor. Now, since the Voorhees did theirs, I mean, now multicolor with the LEDs, it's, like I said, it's fairly, you know, the price difference isn't huge and the benefit you get from it graphically.
But I think you're asking things like pancake breakfast at the firehouse.
Right.
Is that
historian storytelling,
committee,
well testing. And that's why I think there's a debate whether a Facebook strategy to get that message out would be just as or more effective than, as I think I've said to some people, you know, it really depends what side of town someone lives on. I lived here for 5 or 6 years before I really knew where this building was because my route and commute never took me past this building. I think probably the people who take 513 all the time would never see a sign up here. I don't know what the maximum exposure we're going to get. If we pick the optimal spot, are we going to get 30% of the township that sees a message board? I don't know.
I feel there's, if you have ever been 730 on Bunvale and 513, and our lodger's portion of the city is the high school, you'll see people traveling that area at that
at
library.
513.
Yeah, exactly.
The question
I would have is, it to me, the biggest concern I have is in the event of emergency, getting the message out. So that leads me to say we already have a sign at Voorhees High School. We have partnered with them with the SRO. If there was a need to put some kind of message at 513, would the school work with us on
Absolutely.
Something? That's what I'm thinking, that maybe we already have that sign on 513 to, you know, do the messaging. That's just a thought, you know, Jack. I don't know if the school is willing, but I'm talking about an emergency. As far as the other pancake breakfast, word travels pretty good. Facebook seems to get it going. You know, so maybe that's where those kind of incidental, good-feeling things happen. I'm more concerned if we had an emergency of some type to alert people what to do. That's what I'm thinking. As far as up here, seeing that Jack may need a sign, we might already have a sign in 513. I think that we might go back to the original sign we have here, similar to what's there, with re-landscaping. I think the trees, the landscape trees and so forth, need more than just putting a sign there. And I'm just looking at the value of having a sign in front of our municipal building, knowing the possibility exists in a state of an emergency that the school might work with us to get a message out to inform residents you need to be doing this or whatever. And IT guy, you know, social media and all that should be able to get the other things going. So that's kind of where I'm leaning if you want to hear where my discussion is coming from. You know.
What are the easements like down at that library? Do you know the, like, where would the sign be? Could we put it
right
close
in that
enough?
Puddle?
God.
Right in that puddle.
The rain garden sign.
Right under the tree.
Could be, you know, we could do the rain garden around it.
Yeah, right.
Elevate that. Now we're talking. But you know what? In 15 years, if that thing is just goes, it's a limestone cavity. There goes the sign.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So anyways.
It's, that's kind
well,
of
we
too
have
far.
To, so then I guess the step from what I'm hearing is my thought is that is then let's get solid numbers for out front. We have to do that.
Agreed.
And I think if we did want to, you know, we have to get another sign like that, and it's used for that scenario, maybe we look at upgrading what that kind of, the mobile aspect would be.
Yeah,
I can understand that. I think that's a good way to go.
Okay. Okay. Good. So I got the numbers from that KC, and I'll see if they can put together a drawing for us.
Okay. So well, there are local sign companies as well, I think.
Yeah. Well, just to get another number.
Yeah. Get an idea of what kind of...
I think your sign needs to be...
I think we'd be under the bid
your
threshold so
too?
We can get some quotes and proposals.
Yeah, exactly.
This sign? No, I believe the police sign over here...
Is in rough shape, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to speak on Jack's behalf, but Warren did mention to me that sign's in poor shape.
Well, then we'll look at the complex.
Yeah,
signage
right.
For the
yeah.
complex
yeah.
here. Okay.
Actually, I did have a brief discussion with Jack about that as well, and I have to say it's so overgrown, I don't remember exactly what's on that sign, but we may want to say municipal building and police headquarters or something,
yeah,
even right.
right
out at the road.
Right. I think this sign over here just leads people to that
right.
side of
yes.
the building.
I agree. Right. Okay.
Okay, I think that's then good direction. The next item, because of the dollar value of it, we wanted to get a motion from the committee. This is for our financial software accounting package to renew for the year is $3,308. Unless anyone has any discussion on that, it's needed for our operations. Some software is needed for our operations. This is the one we've been using. I'd be looking for a motion to approve renewing the software with Edmonds and Associates for our accounts payable software or financial accounting software for $3,308.
I'll make a motion to approve the financial software.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item, we have an interoffice memo from Joanne Fasinelli regarding scheduling a spring cleanup day. Last year we had two of these events. They were very well attended. She's got quotes for having six dumpsters that would be parked over at the DPW building. They've offered two dates. It turns out apparently these dates work for both Warren and the DPW department as well as for Joanne. Would be April 14th or April 21st from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
The EOSC was the 21st was their preferred date because of their cleanup over at Red Mill property.
So unless anyone sees an advantage to April 14th. I guess we'd look for a motion to schedule a spring cleanup day on April 21st.
I'll make the motion to schedule the spring cleanup day for April 21st.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Last item is titled Temporary Clerical Position. As I think many of us are aware, there are some stacks of information in this building that have been stacking up for maybe a decade or longer, what I'll call the filing backlog. I discussed with Karen and other members of the staff that a temporary person, clerical type person to help do some of that filing, we could start chipping away at that backlog. So the position, the rate that the township pays for other clerical help currently is $12.55 an hour. What I would propose for our discussion would be that we authorize the clerk to meet with some people. The first point would be to inform our CWA union that we want to hire a temporary person, assuming that none of them want to pick up the extra time. They don't have time in their current hours. We think we won't have an interest from the CWA. I understand through Matt that for a temporary position, we don't have to post it or go through any particular procedure. So we could authorize Karen, if she finds the right candidate, to go ahead and get that started. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, I don't feel there's any need for this committee to interview anybody like that. I think it's something Karen has to work with them and feel comfortable with their abilities and their cooperative aspects more than any of us. So.
And you're comfortable with the expenditure of funds?
Yep.
For the committee. Is there a motion?
Is there a time frame that we were going to set on this, that they would be here for the temporary position? Did you?
The temporary position, by its definition, doesn't get benefits and the like. So if you're
right.
thinking like 20 hours a week, my assumption would
no.
be less than 20 hours a week.
I was just thinking, is there a time where we have to come back and say, are they doing the right job on it or anything like that, you know?
I would be inclined to let Karen
refer
manage
that Karen.
Position.
You're talking about like a probationary period? Or
no,
something?
No, I'm just talking about, do we see an end in sight with when this person would be finished? Contract work.
I think we'd have to rely
yeah.
on Karen
yeah.
to tell us, because this could lead into either, you know, we've discussed for, as has been pointed out by members of the public for years, getting our ventilation system in a document vault. If this person works out very well, we could morph right into restructuring how we
okay.
file information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
yeah.
we'd rely on Karen that if when the project's done, the hours would stop, and if there's good use, the hours could continue.
It would just be good to check in along the way.
Yeah.
You know.
When we go through the budget process, we'll have to put a number on it, so we'll have to put a cap.
And hope the point of this is if we can start getting this cleaned up, it'll help us understand how much space we actually need for the documents. Because that's downstairs. If we kind of want to consolidate everything and turn that back into a conference room, bring it downstairs, bring everything together, kind of have to understand how many filing cabinets do we need, with also the expectation of future, you know, we constantly create paper. Mm-hmm. So having enough space to, you know, down there and then put the ventilation in appropriately. So this kind of helps us figure out what files out there generates. Maybe we need more filing cabinets, you know. We don't know, you know, until we start putting some of this stuff away and we find out it's exploding out.
So is there a motion to authorize the clerk to hire a temporary clerical position?
I'll make that motion for the clerk to hire a temporary, or to interview and hire a temporary clerical position.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. I have one other new business item that's not on the agenda. This was passed along by Brian, who couldn't be here tonight. Last meeting, we got an update from the police chief regarding some of the security issues at Veterans Haven. Brian would like just support from the committee to write a letter and potentially try to get a meeting with the people in charge of Veterans Haven to discuss their security versus our security.
Brian has my support, or a motion if you need it, to go ahead and write that letter.
I'll second that.
And a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next is the presentation of vouchers.
Mr. Wonder's not here, so I will take his voucher list, and I'm going to start with one from Morton Salt. $2,789.72. It's 54.37 tons. I have another one here also for Morton Salt, which is 82.14 tons for $4,214.61. I have Finch Fuel Oil. This is DPW Diesel. $2,291.33. And I have another one from Finch Oil, which is also diesel fuel for the DPW for $1,904.67, and that's Mr. Wonder's voucher list. And I have one here for the historians, which is the Lancaster County Stoneware for different types of stoneware mugs. They sell these, auction these things, sell these things at different venues, from Bunjo Pottery. Is that correct?
Bunjo.
Pottery for $1,017.50. And that's all I have.
I've got first from the New Jersey Health Benefit Plan for our active and retired benefits, a total of $41,435.10 for the January premiums. New Jersey Health Benefit Plan for the February premiums comes to a total of $36,464.50. Payable to Michael Bolin for creation of the recreation and open space plan, partial work on that, was $1,276. Payment to Cooperative Communications for our communication services, $1,037.46 for the month of January. Dell Computer for the upgraded server for the clerk's office, $2,865.06. The software that we approved tonight to Edmonds and Associates for the financial software, $3,308. The tax sale certificate that we authorized redemption of tonight, $14,704.66. And step to the other one was the return of premium related to the tax sale certificate in the amount of $6,100.
That's it? Yep. I only have one that applies, and that is the payment to Michael Bolin, 8 hours of work for $1,160, and it's for updating the housing plan element, review and revise the spending plan, prepare the draft, third round perspective, funding for affordable housing activities, development fee ordinance, durational adjustment, and zoning standards. And then,
if I could just add to that one, and that'll be reimbursed by a grant from the Highlands
right.
Associated Highlands
That's right.
Council.
Right. There's one question I have for Matt on here. There's I'm going to hold this back because we're not sure if it's a it's only a $30 one, but it's a stargazing event, and if they don't, if for some reason they can't do it, they don't know if they have the venue, if they have to reschedule it. So
yep.
I told Maria I'm going to hold it till the next meeting. Sure. But what they asked in the backup is, do we have permission to take and use activity photos of your group? And I just wanted to ask before we said yes or no on that, is there any liability to the township, say like a parent said, I don't want my kid on there?
They're asking us to sign on behalf of everybody.
Yeah, like our group that we paid $30 for, can we use your photos to promote? But they're also, there's a line at the bottom. It's kind of like they're waving that we don't come back to them for anything. So kind
of
just...
I mean, the only concern I would have is if members of the group, and it sounds like they are, if they're minors.
That's what I was thinking.
And because we run into situations where not everybody is in a single parent, in a dual parent home, and
the
question of waiver of a minor's rights is it's a difficult thing to accomplish. I mean, it's much easier if everyone was an adult. I wouldn't have much concern, but the fact that it's difficult for both parents to waive a kid's right, let alone when the parents have differing opinions on the whether.
I'm just gonna say no.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want, in these days, don't want pictures of their kids circulated. For a lot of reasons.
That's what I was thinking. So, yeah, I'll tell Maria. I don't even know if she realized it was on there, but that's it for me.
Okay, I have one for Finch Fuel Oil. This is for heating fuel for Station 1, Municipal Building, Squad Building, and Library, and such for $6,117.61. And another one for Finch Fuel Oil for also fuel for, again, for the municipal building, DPW building, and Station 2 for $3,247.33. That's it.
Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
Can I interrupt just one second? I'm sorry. Bev, are you actually not having that approved tonight then? Are you pulling
it? Right, I'm going to pull it.
Okay, so then it will be the bill list with the exception of that one voucher then?
Right.
Okay.
So we're not paying it, or we're paying it with...
No, I'm not going to pay it, only because they may cancel. They may not be able to reschedule the event. I don't want to pay them advance. They said it's okay if we pay them at the door. So when they...
When is the event?
2/23, if it doesn't rain. It's under the stars.
Well, why don't you approve the payment if the event were to be held? And then this way, it's available to... It's able to be paid, but it won't leave the building. Do you see what I'm saying?
The check could be held here to that night,
yes.
And we could pick it up here.
And then Maria can pick it up, as she did for the ice sculptors. She picked it up here and gave it to him that day.
Okay.
So Joanne can... So then it'll be approved, and it won't hold up the payment at any cost.
That being said, everything's been approved then. I mean, the motion could be...
If that's acceptable for everyone, it's up to you.
Yeah, if it's held
here.
But
I think didn't we pull the ice sculpture one last time?
No, we held it here.
I held it.
We held it.
We approved it, but held it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I put it in Maria's basket
for
the day of.
That works.
So then we just have a straight approval motion for the voucher list.
And just if you want to add, just to hold the,
right.
the check
and
until the
and holding back the stargazing
voucher. I will make a motion to approve the voucher list, holding the one item that was in discussion that Karen will hold, which will give to Maria?
Yes. Stargazing.
When she needs that. So I'll make that motion to approve the voucher list as is, with that one exception that we're holding. We're approving it, but we're holding it to hand deliver that check.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. Then... correspondence. First item is that we received the Recreation Commission's meeting minutes from December 7th, 2017, for anyone's viewing. And the next item is a correspondence that came in from a group of residents requesting a noise ordinance.
Mm.
I don't know. So that was received by the entire committee. I discussed that with the chief of police. I'll make a couple of comments, and you're welcome to make some comments as well. From the letter that was provided and looking into noise ordinances in general a little bit, just as a clarification, the New Jersey DEP takes charge of noise ordinances. And any noise ordinance we would make would have to go through the New Jersey DEP. And I think the words the police used is that the noise ordinances are not meant to make people behave. And it's very clear from the New Jersey information that a noise ordinance is meant for stationary noises. So if you've got a factory in your city and the factory is spewing out noise, that's what a noise ordinance is. So what we really looked at would be a modification of our so-called nuisance codes. So just to be very specific about that. And in talking with the police chief, we believe that the laws and statutes that are available to the police could control the behavior that we're talking about. The issue really is that it has to be observed by the police. So it's just a matter of more timely calling and what's described here could be stopped if the police get called while it's happening. The challenge is, and I see your point of a noise ordinance might be, there might be possible to go separately and measure noise, and that's in the example of a factory, that's how you could do it. I think the behavior that we're discussing here is really just a matter of enforcing the ordinances and laws that we already have on the books. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit out of order from the normal public comment. If you'd like to make any, if you'd like to come up and introduce yourself and make any comments, you'd be welcome to. Yep. And then since we have the chief of police here, we could have a discussion on this a little bit. And then we have our attorney.
Thank you for considering the comments.
You just want to open up public comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's next on the list.
Motion to open up public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Good evening. My name is Michael Smith. I live at 710 Cannon Road. And over the years, there's been issues in the neighborhood that really come down to noises emanating from a property that have been discussed in there. And when we call the police, we're more or less told there isn't anything they can do because there isn't anything on the books for them to charge them with if it's coming from the property. And I must say that in the last 6 months, I think the police have done a good job of addressing some of the other violations that these people that were trying to convince to be good neighbors. So the right now, the amount of noise coming from this area has diminished greatly. But it's sort of old habits are hard to break. So I fully expect at some time that we go back to the same level of nonsense that has been going on in the neighborhood for years. So I've been able to address other issues that I had with another neighbor through the dog ordinance, a leash law. Okay, the police didn't have to see it. I was able to handle it. I brought it to the court two or three times, but eventually the individual got the message and the issue is resolved. We don't have that problem anymore. So I'm looking at this as more or less a tool for, you know, to assist law enforcement, and I could take you know, my action if needed. Because I do agree it's hard for, you know, the police have to be there to observe it. I don't know whether these people have a police scanner, you know, so go out and say, hey, knock it off, the cops are coming. You know, so there's a lot of things there that I think are in the way of the police, even in their best effort to address it, not being able to observe it. Mm-hmm. So this is why we really got together and say, you know, I think everybody on the streets probably called the police at one time or another for various things, and they feel that they need a tool, to address it. Now I know Amwell has a nice little short nuisance verbiage in their ordinance. I probably should have wrote that down and brought it here. Mm-hmm. But it's really just common sense as to what a nuisance is being. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I could state that on a summons, bring it to court, you know, then that's my problem. Mm-hmm. To provide the burden of proof that, you know, the individual is violating that ordinance. But
I don't think it's going to be a noise ordinance.
Doing a great job. It's just they can't be there, you know, 24/7.
Exactly. And any noise ordinance would require that as well, because you'd have to have As we looked it up, you'd have to have a noise control officer who's certified, or you could have a noise control investigator who's not certified. And I don't see that working. Plus, the noise ordinance by itself is stationary.
Well, yeah, I'm not the that's not my craft, right? The legal verbiage. So, you know, if the nuisance ordinance, or you know, being a pest, or you know, whatever the legal term is for just being a bad neighbor and not respecting other people's rights.
Yeah, the requirements of enforcing and upholding a noise ordinance violation are very stringent, as the mayor has indicated, and even getting it on the books requires approval of DEP. We'd have to draft it. We've done. I mean, it's obviously many municipalities have done it, but enacting it's only the first step, and its enforcement is, quite frankly, is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Would beefing up the nuisance ordinance be something that you could consider?
Well, as I discussed with the chief of police, I don't know that we even need to beef anything up. And maybe we could ask the chief to go over some, you know, obviously not specific to individuals, but some of the concepts of you know, harassment behavior and the like that might apply here.
Absolutely.
Sure. Nice to meet you.
Chief Gale, Jack Gale. Thanks for bringing us our attention. Mm-hmm. There are several criminal violations that we could enforce as far as like a disorderly conduct under the harassment statutes, the offensive language, the improper behavior that's creating a hazard to the area. Under harassment codes, there's inappropriate offensive language. So if they are out there yelling the F-bomb and everything else coming out, that can't be measured for a noise ordinance with a meter.
Right.
And that's where that noise ordinance falls under. It has to be a measurable sound. We can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the improper behavior, the the offensive language, the aggressive attitudes, alarming conduct, that we can enforce. The motor vehicle violations, the quads being ridden on the roadway, unlicensed, unregistered motor vehicles, we can enforce that. Kids on here with no safety equipment on, that we can enforce. But we can enforce it on Monday morning if it happens Friday night. So please bring it to our attention, you know, right away. They may have police scanners. A lot of people do have police scanners. We hear when we walk into calls, we can hear ourselves talking, and it's kind of unnerving, but it is what it is. But yeah, bring it to our attention right away, and you know, we will respond and you know, try to address your concerns.
Yeah, I think you've done a great job in addressing our concerns, because like I said, the behavior has changed 180 degrees.
Okay.
But the old dog doesn't change its colors, right? So I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah,
it's winter, windows are closed,
right,
summer's coming, I understand that. We have been there and have spoken to the subjects involved. They are well known to us, and I do anticipate that this would be occurring again as the summer comes on and the doors get open and
the
pool gets open, yes. But if we're continually doing it and it's hitting them in the pocketbook, that's when you start seeing more of an impact.
Yeah. And I would say that over the last 6 months, maybe even a year, the attention to this particular issue
mm-hmm.
has been pretty well on top of it.
Okay.
Right? If we call in, I know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
That there's it's going to be addressed.
We're going to respond there and
right.
see what's going
but
on.
But we still run into the problem where you know, you didn't see something happen.
Sure.
And, you know, so you spent the time to go there, and the individual can tell you to go pound
mm-hmm.
because you didn't see it.
Yeah.
If they're savvy. I don't know how savvy these people are. But and that's really the reason we put something together, is to give us, a statute that I could put on a summons and go to court and say, you know, have the judge deal with it.
Yeah,
and I understand the conflict.
A nuisance ordinance would be more in line of what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah,
like everybody has said, that the noise ordinance is not unattainable, but it's not applicable for what we're trying to do.
Right, and you know, maybe a poor choice of words on, or not a full understanding of mm-hmm. what a noise ordinance, the complications of that versus
sure.
a line or two in a nuisance ordinance that would address, some of the issues that, okay, I don't need to call you. Right. All I got to do is pay my $5 and fill out a summons, and I'll see the guy in court.
would that make it a civil violation rather than a criminal violation? Again, I'm not an expert on this. Luckily, we have two experts who.
Well, no, I mean, if he's going to swear out a complaint under the, if it's a violation of the code, it's going to go to municipal court and be heard.
I guess I'm wondering, can he do that with some of our existing ordinances? And I don't expect you off the top of your head to know our existing ordinances. I'm just wondering if...
Dog running at large, classically.
Well, that's the one that I used with another neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Had the pictures, went down to the court. The judge saw it my way.
Mm-hmm.
The individual first went to arbitration, right? Violated that. Then we went to court, disregarded that. Went back a second time, which the judge didn't appreciate. So I think it started costing him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to ask the judge, said, this individual leaves his dogs barking out all day long. And the judge made it a stipulation, you know, don't let me hear from Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear his name,
mm-hmm.
all right? And that was part of the agreement that was part of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fine. You know,
So I see now what you're...
Yeah, he could be the complainant in that, and bringing that violation.
Would he need a local ordinance to be able to do that, or could he do it? Let's say there's a state or county ordinance regarding harassment or, you know, offensive noise or whatever. Could he do it under that?
Yeah, I mean, if the elements of the crime are met, if he's witnessed each element necessary of the crime, yes. I mean, the court could determine there's not probable cause to list that for a hearing, meaning right. There's a threshold. You have to assert the appropriate facts to satisfy. If the facts are deemed insufficient under the statutory provision or the local code, the court staff, which is really supposed to be the judge, can say this doesn't pass muster, it's dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming it hits all the markers, it'll be listed for a hearing date.
Is it, which Amwell, is it West or East that has the...
I think it was West.
Okay.
I have a curiosity question. And so, like in your scenario, you took pictures of the dog, obviously. And what would be the scenario of if he had video of them riding the quad down the middle of the street? They hear you on the scanner, they ditch and they go back in, but he has the video to show you. Does that allow you a mechanism to...
Yeah, we could work with that.
So...
Yeah, as long as we can observe the violation.
We had pictures for that, and I think he was, because he had an accident with a kid on the ATV. We're talking no helmets. The one I observed. The child.
If we can refrain from getting into this detail, I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
I do mean to cut you off. I apologize, but we're getting into specifics now, and for your sake, I don't want there to be things said in the public record that.
Thank you.
I'm not saying everything you're saying is not true,
totally,
but it's not to your benefit to utter them this evening in this venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my concern is just as if, because we said with a scanner, is there a way that you can video and it gives the officers a mechanism to then go to them and say, hey, we have video proof of you doing X, Y, and Z.
Well, that would be me. There's other folks on the letter that... you know, may or may not have the time or the capability to do that. So the ordinance
or
right.
desire.
Right.
So.
But I think what we've established is that the behavior we're talking about is already covered by statutes and ordinances. It's really now how to enforce it. And I think, given the advice we're hearing, that maybe if you need any more discussion, you set up a discussion with the police chief.
Sure.
And if we find, if Chief, if you could tell the committee, if you find that we do need some ordinance adjustments, we could then discuss with our attorney if we're duplicating state law or other law and take it forward that way.
The behavior that's described in here is violating motor vehicle statutes or some criminal laws already existing.
Yeah. The letter, I mean, there's definitely some recourse already for a lot of that behavior.
So I think that would be the way forward. And if we need additional ordinances, I mean, we'll certainly consider them, but I'm not sure that would solve your problem right now.
I'm agreeable to
that. Okay.
I don't know about the other people on the letter, but I'm certainly good with it. Okay. And I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's any other discussion from the committee, otherwise, since we are in public comment, any other members of the public would like to make a statement? And is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, you're doing a great job.
With
thank
that,
you for your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will need to go into executive session. Two items. One is related to a real estate acquisition. The other related to a personnel matter. I don't expect action on either of the topics. So if there's a motion for going into executive session under Resolution 26-2018.
Make a motion to go into executive for Resolution 26-2018.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Great time. All right.